On a mission to change the way consumers purchase glasses, GlassesUSA.com was created on one simple belief. Eyewear shouldn't break the bank. It's the smart way to buy glasses. GlassesUSA.com allows consumers to purchase eyewear from the convenience of their own home and offers a wide variety of high-quality frames and lenses at affordable prices and with no risk. And these aren't generic frames. These are brands like Ray-Ban, Oakley, Tom Ford, and Calvin Klein. So head on over to GlassesUSA.com, use promo code ALMIGHTY, that's promo code ALMIGHTY, and get 55% off any pair of glasses at checkout. Again, GlassesUSA.com, promo code ALMIGHTY.
Want to do bad things.
Problems you get, and jealousy and envy is something that comes with the territory, man. A lot of people, it's just negative energy, like my man Puff said.
What country you from?
What?
What ain't no country I ever heard of?
They speak English and what?
What?
English, mother, do you speak it?
Man, you been doing all this dope producing, you ain't had a chance to show them what time it is.
So what you want me to do?
Welcome to the Spurs Cast, the original San Antonio Spurs podcast.
Congratulations, you have arrived at episode 440 of the Spurs Cast. The original San Antonio Spurs podcast, brought to you, of course, by ProjectSpurs.com. I am your host, Ryan McCallum, reporting to you live from my humble shack / podcast studio. Jose's off training for next season of Lucha Underground, so we're going to do a little something a little bit different. You all get the pleasure of going solo with Ryan, going one-on-one with the great one tonight. I'm going to try to do this by myself, and it's kind of a sad day for me because today... it being Tuesday, Tony Romo announces his retirement from the NFL. And I know this is an NBA podcast, but no Tony Romo. And he joins the booth with CBS. He's going to be along Jim Nance as CBS's number one commentator, which I think is just going to be fantastic. He's going to do a wonderful job. And it got me thinking about, in the NBA, what other top players have ever gone into commentary, color commentary, and been good, been decent at it. There's been some coaches. Like, I think Jeff Van Gundy is absolutely fantastic in his job. Doug Collins is probably the best in the business at what he does. But then if you look at players, like Chris Webber is almost as brutal to listen to as me. And then Mark Jackson is absolutely horrible. I wonder what it is about the NFL where former players, specifically quarterbacks, can go into the booth and do a very, above average, more than decent job. But in the NBA, it just doesn't seem to pan out that way. You know, maybe there's somebody that I'm not thinking of. Charles Barkley in the studio show does a wonderful job. A couple of times when he's been on the sideline to do color, it's pretty brutal. It's tough to listen to. So, good luck to Tony in his next endeavor. He says that he's done with football, but surely he's going to get some calls from different teams looking for a QB. But it's over for him. So good luck to him. I know that there's a lot of listeners to this podcast and San Antonio Spurs fans and just residents of the state of Texas that is majority a Cowboys state. And people are looking out for Tony Romo. And so today, since we're going solo, we're gonna be filling some time, as you can tell from that opening segment. But we were gonna hit sort of Ryan's roulette wheel of topics to get into, simply because, well, one, I'm not very good at this. I need somebody to bounce things back and forth with. Jose being gone, doing deadlifts doesn't help at all. But the first thing I wanted to hit on was the power rankings, because there's been a little bit of movement
you know, at the top. Not much from the number one position. That's been the Golden State Warriors. They're 63-14. They've been the number one ranked team on ESPN's power rankings for some time. You know, they have an 11-game win streak going. Their all-stars, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, have been playing fantastic. Now you hear that they're going to get Kevin Durant back as early as Saturday, give him a couple games in the regular season to get ramped up for the playoffs. You know, the Warriors are looking pretty deadly. It's looking like, you know, the road to the NBA Finals, in the West at least, is going to run through Golden State, which is not something that the San Antonio Spurs should be intimidated by, and of course they're not, and guy like Greg Popovich certainly is not. That being said, you know, they lost that last game to Golden State, but they still have the advantage in the season series, 2-1. Steph Curry's having another fantastic year. Now, he's not going to eclipse 400 three-pointers like he did last year, you know, but he's got 302 threes over the course of the season, which is ridiculous. And one thing that I do want people to focus on, that Draymond Green, as maligned of a player as he is, and as mixed feelings that San Antonio Spurs fans will have about Draymond Green, he's doing a wonderful job this year, and over the course of his career, as Draymond Green goes, the Golden State Warriors go. So, you know, he has a career record, or the Golden State Warriors have a career record of 19-0 when Draymond Green gets a triple-double. So, you know, it's not very often, you know, that he gets a triple-double, because you see only 19 of those, of course, all resulting in Golden State Warriors wins. And then you look at Russell Westbrook, who tonight, Tuesday evening, could go and tie an NBA all-time record for triple-doubles in a season with 41. 19 is pales in comparison to 41. But they're a perfect – Golden State is a perfect 19-0 over Draymond Green's career when he scores a triple-double. So at any rate, Golden State's number one seed. They're just killing it out there. Hats off to them. And the Warriors Huddle, actually, a podcast that's in our same network. You know, those guys, we're gonna have to do a crossover show again with those guys, you know, just to catch up, because it looks like, you know, those two teams, Golden State and San Antonio, presumably will be meeting there in the Western Conference Finals. Let's cross our fingers. That gives us the number two team in ESPN's power rankings, and that's the San Antonio Spurs at 59-17. You know, they were ranked second. They've been almost second the entire year to Golden State. They're, again, having one of those years where they're going to eclipse 60 wins. And who would have thought that San Antonio would get to 60 wins after you lose a Hall of Famer, all-time, you know, player, maybe the best power forward of all time, in Tim Duncan. You lose him last year, where you record a 67-win season, and then you come right back the next year and you hit another 60-win season. Phenomenal, phenomenal. One stat that, you know, and the Spurs are playing tonight, but so we want to hurry up with this podcast and get to that game. But, you know, one stat that I thought was really interesting that I saw, if you look at the number of players that are selected in the top 20 picks in the NBA draft, right, the Spurs have the least on any roster this season other than Brooklyn and New Orleans. So let me repeat that, because it's a bit confusing. The Spurs have a roster full of players that were not drafted in the top 20 in the NBA draft in their respective years. So let me tell you this, who they are. LaMarcus Aldridge was the number 2 overall pick. Pau Gasol was the number 3 overall pick. And Kawhi Leonard was the number 15 overall pick. So the Spurs are doing it with a cast of characters that were not highly drafted. And that's kind of familiar territory for San Antonio, obviously. You know, Tim Duncan being that number one overall pick sort of set the course and changed, you know, the future for San Antonio. And they haven't really repeated that, as you can see from their, you know, the number of years that they've been in the playoffs consecutively every year since, you know, Tim Duncan has arrived. And then obviously this year without Tim Duncan still in the playoffs. They're just doing a phenomenal job. That means they don't get lottery picks. That means that they don't get into the drafting into the top 20. They have to acquire from free agency, which is how they got LaMarcus Aldridge and Pau Gasol, as you know. Number 3 is the Boston Celtics. with 50 and 27. So Boston has eclipsed the 50-win mark. It's their first one since 2010, 2011. You know, they're going to be very highly seeded, number one team in the East. They've eclipsed Cleveland. So we'll see how that shakes up in the East. Boston has a great record. They're up from the fourth seed. I still think that the road runs through Cleveland, though, in the East. And number four is the Houston Rockets with 52 wins on the season. They've dropped a spot, lost a couple of games as of late. But, you know, let me give you a perspective on Houston and how they've compiled their team, especially with the addition of Lou Williams. They're just a three-point threat, which is something that, you know, should worry a team like San Antonio, but it should also worry a team like Golden State. Daryl Morey has come out, the GM of Houston, has come out and said, we're going to acquire players and we're going to build a team that excels behind the three-point arc because we think that a barrage of threes is the best way to beat Golden State in the playoffs. Here's a statistic. Houston is 34-4 this year when it hits 15 or more threes. If they do not hit 15 threes, they're 18-21, which is very average. So, you know, like you saw in those two games as of late when Houston played Golden State and lost both of those games, it was really more of a function of Houston's shooting being incredibly off. You know, things like James Harden going, I'm making this up, but it was like 5 for 12 from three-point land. They're just not going to get it done with doing that. Number five is the Toronto Raptors with 47-30. Kyle Lowry's leading the NBA in minutes played. Minutes per game. Number six, the Cleveland Cavaliers. They still have not eclipsed 50 wins. They're 49-27. They used to be the seventh seed. They're up a little bit. You just saw LeBron chew Tristan Thompson's ass. And actually, on the replay, I saw it more as Tristan Thompson pushing back against LeBron James, which is an interesting storyline in and of itself because you just don't ever see that on the Cavaliers. I don't know if it's a sign that, you know, Tristan Thompson, who's been playing every game, you know, since he got into the league. I mean, he had the record for a very long time, active streak of games played. You know, he's getting frustrated with the losing that's happened as of late and LeBron James' attitude. I don't know. It's something to dig into. It's interesting to see. But, you know, most of the pundits still believe that the Cavaliers will be the number one seed in the East. You know, they've done a poll, and 89% of the respondents to that poll do believe that, you know, that they're going to be the representative out of the East. Number seven, and this isn't much of a surprise, but it's the Utah Jazz. They're 47-30. I think that they've done a fantastic job from a coaching perspective. Quinn Snyder has been rumored as a Coach of the Year candidate. Should definitely fall short of that, I think, to Mike D'Antoni. But that being said, they've got a lot of solid players. They don't have very many really good to great players. I mean, they've got Gordon Hayward, who's probably their best player. Derek Favors is right there. Rudy Gobert is right there. But then they fill in with guys like Rodney Hood, who's having a decent season. Of course, former San Antonio Spur Boris Diaw, former Spur George Hill. Those guys are having good years. And so I would expect, you know, very possibly a win in the first round for Utah, who's already clinched a playoff position for this year. And then you have the Washington Wizards at number eight, 46-31. We don't spend a lot of time on them because if you're like me, you expect them to implode in that first round. Then you've got the number nine, the Portland Trail Blazers. And this was surprising because this is a 500 team. They're 38-38 on the year. You know, of course, those two guards will run at you. Damian Lillard has the highest scoring average all through the month of March at 29.1 points per game. But you just see, you know, Portland coming on hot late in the year. And I think that's the reason for ESPN having them rank so high. And number 10, this is one I'm not necessarily I agree with, but OKC, 43-33 on the year. They're not going to win 50 games on the year, but they're ranked number 10. They used to be ranked number 9. This is a team that I think is going to have some trouble when it gets into that first round of the playoffs. just because it's a one-man show. And that's gotten them, you know, to 43 wins this season. But, you know, as things get serious in the playoffs, you know, look for benches to get short. You know, look for, I dare say, Russell Westbrook to start wearing down. I think it's going to be a tough road to hoe for the Oklahoma City Thunder. But that's your top 10 from ESPN's power rankings. You know, certainly Golden State and San Antonio being at the top is no surprise. I think there are a couple of surprises there with Portland being at number 9. And for me, OKC being at number 10. Next, I want to get to the story that broke a little earlier in the day, and Project Spurs' own Paul Garcia reported on this, tweeted about it. There was a tweet in the Orlando Magic organization, and it was a tweet that showed a whiteboard that had Orlando's, at least what we believe is a preview of Orlando's offseason plans, captured on that whiteboard. And on that list, it had, you know, players that they, you know, what type of player that they want. Do they want some wings? Do they want, you know, center? Do, you know, that type of thing. And it listed all their names. And what's interesting for Spurs fans is there's a couple of names on there that we should recognize, or at least we can infer. And what I love about Paul Garcia's reporting is because he won't commit to this player, but he wrote this in his article that's out there on ProjectSpurs.com right now. He says that there was the name Bertans written on the Orlando Magic's board, and that could mean Davis Bertans, and as opposed to all the other Bertans that are running around there that play, you know, a stretch four position. But, you know, Davis Bertans, you know, has been a solid player, a serious three-point threat. I think he's developed his game into that over the past couple of years. The Spurs have had rights to him. And certainly coming over this year, he's just been phenomenal. He's split time mostly with the NBA squad, but he's played a little bit down there in the D-League. Just a killer from three-point land. It's no surprise that the Orlando Magic are interested in him. Another player that was in Paul's article and was also on that board was a K. Dot Anderson. And if you're a Spurs fan, you're going to infer that that's Kyle Anderson. For me, you guys know that I'm not too hot on Kyle Anderson. If another team wanted him and he can improve his career and maybe make a little bit more money, that's great. I'm not sure that the Spurs necessarily lose something if they lose Kyle Anderson. That said, Popovich, you know, is, I mean, clearly seeing something that I'm not, because Kyle Anderson's getting all of these minutes. He's going to be on the playoff roster. He's going to play in the playoffs. For me, I feel like he loses on defense a bit. A little bit too slow, but he was also on that board. So, you know, GMs and coaches around the league are obviously taking notice of Kyle Anderson. So good for him. But it was interesting that those two were on that board. And from an organizational perspective, you know, that seems like that's a pretty insidious move to leak that photo or to, you know, tweet that photo out. It just seems ridiculous that somebody could have caught that or should have caught that it has, you know, off-season plans behind it and you know, force that to get deleted really quickly. So that gets us to the game tonight as we jump around this roulette wheel. The Spurs are playing Memphis. This could be a preview of their first round series. They've had mixed results against Memphis this year. First game, Kawhi doesn't play. Second game, and they lose. Second game, Kawhi plays, and they win. You know, There's just this question of playing this game full strength, because there's not much to prove. You're pretty much locked into that number two position. I guess if there's an epic collapse from Golden State, you could get that number one position, but you're not going to. And what's really the difference, right? There's not going to be a chance that you're going to drop to the number three position. If you're Memphis, you want this game because there's still some competition down there at the bottom of the Western Conference as far as the playoffs go. They're a number seven seed. They want to get to that number six seed, and perhaps they can make it with a win. There was a rumor that Marc Gasol wasn't going to play. So, you know, what I see, though, is that Tony Allen is not going to play for Memphis, but Gasol and Jamichael Green are going to play, which I thought was really quite interesting. And I think that is going to drive what San Antonio does. With no Tony Allen, even though Kawhi Leonard is on the roster tonight, Popovich didn't declare him out. The only two players that he called out were Danny Green and no DeJounte Murray for this evening, which, you know, that's clearly DeJounte Murray's hurting, because this is just a prime game that you'd want to give a player like DeJounte Murray some minutes. Tony Allen, him being out should drive Kawhi Leonard to not play. Kawhi Leonard's playing a lot of minutes. He's leading the Spurs in scoring, 26 points a game. He's doing everything for San Antonio. He says he doesn't need some rest, but perhaps this is a game that you give him some rest. You know, Gasol playing, I think that means LaMarcus Aldridge is just going to play. I certainly think that means Pau Gasol is going to play. So it'd be interesting to see the matchup between those two. This could be the first round for San Antonio. Memphis, in my mind, always gives San Antonio fits, but maybe I'm thinking that's the Memphis of old. This new Memphis is kind of all over the place. They still have that same kind of drag-it-out style, which is very much, you know, Spurs circa early 2000s. That said, I still think that you don't want to tip your hand too much to Memphis. Obviously, Popovich won't do that. I also think with nothing to gain, this is a game that you know, if you lose it, no big deal. The benefit would be to get out of this healthy and to rest your players. So again, no Danny Green tonight. We'll see what that does to the San Antonio wing play and their wing defense, especially, and no DeJounte Murray as we've seen as of late. Let me see what else we want to get to here. We're talking about the concept of rest. With the Spurs locked in the number two seed, and it can't finish any worse than that. Kawhi Leonard says, the story is that people want the San Antonio Spurs to start resting players. And that's kind of Popovich's style, too. I mean, there's a history here of Popovich. Once playoffs get locked in, Popovich kind of shuts it down. So that's why I suspect that's going to be happening here as of late. I mean, they're 3.5 games back of Golden State. They're not going to have that. I mean, it's not foreseeable that Golden State's going to lose, I don't know, three more times if San Antonio can make that up. It's just going to be too tough to make that happen. Kawhi says that, you know, there's not the big difference between 1 and 2. To win in the playoffs, you still have to win on the road. So all that being said, you know, Kawhi doesn't want to rest, but I think he's going to be forced to rest. I mean, look at the Houston Rockets. They're locked into their position, and they're making up injuries for folks. Like, James Harden had the flu. Man, it hadn't been flu season in months. So, you know, he didn't play his last game. And by the way, James Harden's on the cover of the Texas Monthly this month. Great article on James Harden. Says that he wants to stay with Houston forever, wants to make his stamp on that city. And think about that for a second. Stamp on a city like Houston. You know, the only other guys that have done that probably from an NBA perspective are probably like Rudy T, of course, Olajuwon, Clyde Drexler, and probably nobody else. And so if you add James Harden to that mix, you could see that happening. You look at San Antonio, who's probably a parallel to that story. You know, like if you think way back, is George Gervin, did he make an imprint on San Antonio? I suspect that you would have a lot of people today who don't know who George Gervin is, even though he's going to be coaching in the Big Three. So watch that coming at you this summer. But I suspect that a lot of people don't know who George Gervin is. I suspect that if they saw him in the airport or something, they'd say, oh, man, that's a tall old dude. But they wouldn't exactly know who he was. Some would, but I think that a lot of people would not. David Robinson certainly made his impact on the city. Not the first star. I mean, that was clearly George Gervin, but you know, the big star, military guy, still in the city. So I think that, you know, just like Olajuwon with his mid-90s success, David Robinson with his late 90s, early 2000s success has made an imprint on the city. And then, of course, there's Tim Duncan, and we don't need to get into all of that. But I think the list is pretty small. Between those two cities in Texas, you really just have a handful of people that you can say have really impacted and put their stamp on the city. So it's a great statement that James Harden wants to do that. You know, I wonder if one day we're looking at Kawhi Leonard that same way. So I don't know how we got off on a tangent, but or I guess I got off on that tangent. Aren't you glad that you tuned in and listened to all this? The Spurs should be sitting players, in my opinion. There's nothing to gain here. You have an older team with guys like Pau Gasol, even key players like David Lee, who play, you know, situational basketball, but are hustlers. And so I feel like those guys, you need to conserve some of that energy for the playoffs. I think that you put everything into that first round of the playoffs so you can get out of that in four or five games. That said, you need to rest players this part of the season. I think that Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili could really benefit from some rest. I think guys like Patty Mills, who just sat out, I think he could benefit from a little bit of additional rest. Literally with nothing to gain, the Spurs should be shutting it down, should be toning it down a little bit. Although Kawhi Leonard comes out and says he doesn't want to. Another story on the roulette wheel of topics, Livio Jean-Charles, you guys remember him? That dude's been playing in Austin for a while. He's not playing in Austin anymore. He's been waived by the Spurs. He's rejoined his French team, which Tony Parker owns. He's a 2013 pick by San Antonio. Never really worked out in the NBA. Finally got waived. Goes back to France. You know, he says, you know, in an interview, he's certainly disappointed that it didn't work out in San Antonio. Such is the cycle of players. You know, some make it. We wish him well on his journey for sure. But Livio Jean-Charles is no longer under the guidance of the Spurs. So let's talk about the keys for the rest of the season. Only a few games left. In my opinion, certainly it's get healthy, and we've talked about that a little bit here. Rest players, get healthy, get in playoff shape. And then I'd like to see them get eight players deep, get a solid rotation. If you guys have been watching it like I have this year, you're kind of confused with the rotations. It's somewhat all over the map. There's a great article out there today with Project Spurs, about rotations that work. And I think Paul Garcia has got some data points on this. But the rotations that the Spurs have been utilizing have been all over the map. I'm fairly uncomfortable with that kind of style working in the playoffs. Now, that being said, these dudes have nearly a 60-win season. So, you know, what the hell do I know? But when it comes to the playoffs and benches get shorter, I'd like the Spurs to have a nice 8-man rotation that we can always look to and count on. If not even just a 7-man rotation, I'd like to have them have a big lineup. I'd like to have them have a small lineup and get about 8 deep and just get mentally ready for the playoffs. So I think those are the three keys. I mean, that's nothing there that's too controversial. I'm sure a lot of people will agree with that one. So, that all being said, and the fact that Jose bailed out on me for the evening, we're going to call it quits on this episode of the Spurs Cast. So make sure to follow us on Twitter at the Spurs Cast. Catch up with Jose and Lucha Underground at JRG1023. Me, I'm at RyanMC_PS. Follow us or follow any of the Project Spurs folks at Project Spurs. Thank you for sticking with it. I know it's been brutal, but you're welcome, guys. You are so very welcome. I'm 25 lighters on my dresser, yes, sir.